Hello, and welcome to Learning for Life at Gustavus, the podcast about people teaching and learning at Gustavus Adolphus College, and the myriad ways that Gustavus liberal arts education provides a lasting foundation for lives of fulfillment and purpose. I'm your host, Greg Castor, faculty member in the Department of History. Refugees. War refugees, climate refugees, natural disaster refugees. We hear and read a lot about refugees these days, and for good reason. There's a global refugee crisis on a scale not seen since World War II, with some 100 million displaced persons around the globe, according to the International Rescue Committee. Think Ukraine, yes, but also, as the committee notes, such other countries as Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen, Somalia, Ethiopia, and Venezuela. It's against this backdrop that refugees are the focus of this spring's Building Bridges Conference at Gustavus on March 4, 2023, titled Unseen Passages, Refugees and the Collective Fight for Vitality. Joining me to talk about the upcoming conference, as well as their own stories, are its co-chairs, Ashley Lye, class of 23, and Tessa Yeager, class of 24. As you'll hear, they are wonderful examples of Gustavus students fully engaged in their educations, both in and out of the classroom, and I've been looking forward to conversing with them both. So, Ashley and Tessa, welcome. It's really great to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you. We're happy to be here.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for taking the time. I know you're busy, with the conference coming up especially, but spring semester is just underway. And by the way, happy Valentine's Day. We're recording this on Valentine's Day. Yes. Happy Valentine's Day to you both. So, how is the semester going so far? It's what, week two? Is that right? Yeah, week two. Week two. You guys, yeah. How's it going for you? So far, so good?
You know, it's going.
it's your last semester, Ashley. Yes. That's always an interesting.
Yeah. Probably one of the hardest semesters I've had. So it'll be interesting, to say the least.
hard because of what the courses and stuff and how busy you are, or just because it's your last?
And because it's the last one, it's just a combination of everything makes it difficult.
Yeah. Well, just make sure you have fun, right? No matter what you're doing. So again, thank you so much for taking the time to join you. I like to start with people's backgrounds. I'm extremely interested in that always. And so maybe Tessa, why don't we start with you? Tell us a little bit about where you grew up, what your interests were, what your parents did, do. Start there, and then we'll turn to Ashley, and then we can talk about how you both came to Gustavus. Go ahead, Tessa.
Yeah. So I grew up in Edina, Minnesota. Try not to judge me.
Oh, no. God, no. I go there all the time, and there are multiple Edinas, right? Yeah.
So I've lived in Edina my whole life, the same house, literally since I was born.
What are you near? What street? I go there so often.
I'm really, I'm right off of Highway 100, and I'm really close to the community center.
Oh, no, exactly where that is.
I work at the community center during the summers, and I just walk back and forth across the highway.
Okay. Former Gustavus president, Axel Steuer, and his wife, Lorelei, live not far from there. See them.
Oh, all. Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so you grew up there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I sort of, I went to Edina High School, and I didn't really have a lot of stuff that I was super passionate about. You know, everyone at Edina is really amazing at everything. So it's hard to sort of find the thing that you're special at. I was a competitive swimmer, and that was pretty much what mattered most to me. I loved swimming, and I ended up being captain my senior year. So I spent most of my time in the pool or working out.
Are you on the swim team at Gustavus?
I'm not. I decided not to. I was going to do band at Gustavus, but then with COVID, everything just ended up being so crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's right, because you started. Let's see, how many, Tessa, how many, both of you, Tessa, how many you semesters online did you have because of COVID? I'm trying to think.
I like to say that I got really, really lucky, and none of my professors went online unless they had to.
Okay.
So I started my freshman year fully online because of the rules that we were with.
Right.
So none of my classes were in person at that time. And for most of fall semester, it was pretty much all online. Okay. And then spring semester, I started to get a couple more in-person classes. And since then, it's been mostly in person for me. It was just that, beginning of freshman year, that was really kind of like a, oh no, how do I meet people?
Yeah. Before we come back to your background, Ashley, what about you? Have you been on, how many semesters have you been on?
For me, all of my classes my sophomore year were online except for my labs. And then I had maybe one class the entire year, but for sure, like 2.5 semesters because of when we got sent home. That was
rough for all of us. It was really weird. Yeah. I mean, I know, we're all acting, all of us, as though it's over, and it's certainly gotten better. Thank God for science and vaccines. But, I forget that it's still there. The virus and mutating is doing. God knows.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually have COVID right now.
Oh no! Oh, you feeling okay? I hope for the podcast. Sorry. Oh,
yeah, Ashley and I were talking about maybe trying to reschedule, but I'm feeling pretty okay. I'm back home in Edina, and I've had a couple days. This is the best my voice has sounded. It's pretty.
I was gonna say you sound good. You don't sound like you have a cold or anything, but
yeah.
I hope I feel better soon. Thank you for being heroic and enjoying. So back to your background. So, you're in Edina, you're swimming. And what about your parents? Did either one of them go to Gustavus?
No, I had an aunt who went to Gustavus, but my mother went to the U of Minnesota and my dad went to a school in Iowa. And my mom's a nurse and my dad works in business. So
that's great.
I knew that I wanted to do neither of those, although my mother really wanted me to be a nurse.
Okay. We'll come back to your path to Gustavus in a second. By the way, where's your mom a nurse at?
She no longer works as a nurse, but she used to be a NICU nurse at Children's.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Nurses are important. God knows. Great. Ashley, tell us about where you grew up and your interests as a kid.
Sure. So I started out in a house in town, in Richmond, Minnesota. And then we moved to my grandparents' dairy farm when I was like 5.
Oh, wow. Where's that? Where's the dairy farm?
The dairy farm's outside of this tiny town called Roscoe, Minnesota. But it's kind of sort of in between Painesville and Richmond, which overall, like further out, is in between like Wilmer and St. Cloud, sort of.
Yeah, I know where at least on the map where Painesville is. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. I have on my mom's side, I have dairy people. It's Oberweis Dairy, it's called. If you ever get to Illinois and get their Oberweis ice cream and cottage cheese, my God, it's good. They used to have the farm, the whole bit. Anyway, so that's interesting. So you grew up there. Were your parents or both or one actively farming, or that's just where you happen to be living?
So we all collectively run the dairy farm as a family. My dad took it over from my grandparents, who took it over from my grandpa's parents, and so on. So it's been a generation farm since 1869. So
that's amazing. Yeah. Isn't that cool? I love that.
Yeah. So many years in the making.
Yeah. My mom grew up on a farm with just no brothers, 2 sisters, and that's still in the family. It wasn't a dairy farm, but now it's just corn and soybean. So do you have a lot of cows, milking cows, or how big is it?
Yeah. So we have about 500 acres, I think, and we have dairy cattle, and then we raise our own and we grow crops and such. And then we usually get pigs every fall, summer, usually in the summer. And then we, butcher them in the spring, but
So are those are pigs that come from somewhere else and then you raise, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like a pretty big operation. I'm not super.
I mean, yeah. We usually milk about 50 cows and then kind of rotate them out is not the right word to use, but that's kind of how that works a little bit. But
and then is the, if you know the answers to these business questions, is the milk then sold to like a wholesaler? How does that work?
What happens? Yeah. So, I believe our milk goes to AMPI, so they come and pick it up for us. And then for a while it was going to Kemp's, but I don't know if it still is or not.
Okay. But, that's neat. Boy, I mean, what I know about dairy farming is just incredibly, well, you know firsthand how hard it is.
Yeah, right? So much work. It's awful.
Okay, so I assume you want to go into farming, dairy farming.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Well, what were you interested in as a kid? What were you? Were you swimming or like Tessa? Or so, what were you doing?
I did everything under the sun. I was a hardcore band kid. I played volleyball for a long time. Still do. It's still fun.
Okay. Are you on the team at Gustavus?
No, I'm not. I decided to do band instead because I was like, I can't do both.
What do you play in band?
I play tuba in the Gustavus Wind Orchestra.
Oh wow, that's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's super fun.
So you're doing band and stuff. Did you have any particular academic interests? I mean, was it you know, or reading or math or whatever?
Yeah. For a long time, I wanted to be an artist.
Oh, yeah.
And an author. And then I got to high school and I took a forensic science class and I was like, I'm going to be a scientist. And here I am.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, yeah. So you kind of knew already in high school.
Yeah.
What about Tessa? Did you have any particular, aside from swimming, were there certain books you enjoyed reading or movies or anything like that as a kid?
Yeah, books was my thing. I don't know if you've read this series of Unfortunate Events. Yes. It's definitely a children's book series, but it is the best book series that's ever existed.
I have not read it, but it sounds like I should.
Yeah, my mom worked in the library at my elementary school growing up, so perfect. I spent a lot of time in the library. But then going through high school, I honestly wish I had more academic interests. You know, like I really cared about my classes and I took the APs I was supposed to take, but I did not have a passion yet. I didn't know really what I cared about.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, that's one of the purposes of, well, that's part of growing up, right? And going to school, I think, is figuring that stuff out. And actually, I hope in some ways, maybe you never figure it out. You develop passions, but you can also develop new passions late. I mean, I never thought I'd be podcasting. I didn't even know what the hell a podcast was, you know? So that's just perfectly fine. Tessa, so at what point did you decide I'm going to college, if you decided or your parents decided, and what was your path to Gustavus?
Yeah, so I had absolutely no idea like what I was doing with my life. I sort of knew I wanted to go to college, but I have a sister who's 2 years older than me, and so she had just gone through the whole college applying, finding her college, and she ended up at a school that she was not enjoying. She just didn't have a great time her first year and a half of college, honestly. And that made me so, so, so nervous for college to the point where I almost didn't want to go. Just seeing her be unhappy and be scared and sad. So I was kind of thinking maybe I wouldn't go to college or I'd take a gap year. But I had a swim coach who is a Gustavus alum, Greg Pokorski.
Perfect.
And yeah. I don't even remember it that well, but he just sat me down once and he was like, so I think you're going to go to Gustavus. I think this is right for you. Here's why. And just told me this is why it's perfect for you. And I was like, I mean, okay. I believe you. So I toured Gustavus once, I applied and all that. And then, I think I pretty much knew from then on, I was going to go to Gustavus. Maybe I didn't know if it was going to be perfect for me yet, but then, the pandemic hit. And yeah. So college decisions were rolling around and I was like, well, I really don't have any other options. I can't really leave my house. I can't tour anywhere. And Gustavus just seems right for now. And then it was not my choice necessarily to go to Gustavus. It was more something someone told me, but I think it's the best choice I've ever made. I ended up at Gustavus and I have never been happier. I feel like I really found my home here.
Well, that's great to hear. We'll come back to that and what makes you happy. What about the place makes you happy? That's so interesting. I mean, it's always interesting to me, the different ways people get to where they are at whatever point they are in their lives. It's so often not a straight, or it's not something that's all neatly planned out necessarily in advance. So who knows, but for that alum swim coach, right? We need the more alumni we have in high schools, the better for us. So what about you, Ashley? What was your path to Gustavus? Did you have any family members who went?
Yeah. So my parents, I'm actually a first generation college student.
Kind of like me. Yeah.
Yeah, my parents went to a tech school for printing, so I didn't really know anything about four-year institutions. And at the time, I played volleyball with this girl who I went to church with her family, and I didn't know it at the time, but I knew that she was going to Gustavus. But her whole family is Gustavus alum, and her mom's in the Hall of Fame for tennis, and this whole thing. But I really looked up to her, and her twin brothers were in my grade, and they actually go here also. So it was because of that I found out about Gustavus. And then I looked into it, toured it once, and I was like, this is awesome. And then I never really looked back. I did tour Carleton and it was kind of a toss up between the two, but I drove my neighbor home from work or from volleyball practice one day. And she was like, so where are you going to go to college? And I was like, well, I'm kind of like in between Carleton and Gustavus. It's like a 15-minute drive home. The whole time I just talked about Gustavus. And I get to her house and she's like, well, it sounds like you made up your mind. And I was like, you know what? Nah. You're right. So I applied to Gustavus and nowhere else. And I ended up here.
That's great. That's a neat story. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. What else were you
saying? No, I was just going to say, like, I have a lot of friends that are like alum of Gustavus that I didn't realize were Gustavus alum until I started telling people I was going to Gustavus. And then everybody was just like, oh my God, Gustavus, I went there. And I was like, oh my gosh. But
that's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. And then and I
did
ended
you,
up,
so oh, go ahead.
I ended up actually coming to Gustavus for the Building Bridges Conference my senior year.
Senior of high school, yeah.
Yeah, and that's how I found out about Building Bridges too. And
you've been in, we'll come to that. You've been in all 4 years, right? I think.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. So coming in, you were already, I don't know, passionate about, predisposed at least to science. I forget how many majors each of you had. Seems amazing. But what are you, chemistry and biochemistry? And just tell us what your majors are and how you got there. And then we'll ask Tessa the same.
Yeah. So like I said, in high school, I took a forensics class and we had to do these like career journals. And one of the things we did was a biochemist. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's it. Cause I'd been looking for the term for what I wanted to do. And it wasn't until that day that I was like, biochemistry. And then I just looked into that. And then I got to Gustavus and I was like, I'm going to major in biochemistry and molecular biology. And then I took a biology class and I was like, maybe I'll do chemistry instead. So with BMB, there's two different tracks. You can do a bio track or the chem track. So I decided to do the chem track, but then I also found out I could also double major in chemistry. So then I decided to do that also.
So it's biochemistry and chemistry.
Yes. Yep. So both of them. And then along the way, I needed more credits. So I decided to minor in music.
Right. And so you're still, and that's where you're doing the tuba, it sounds like. And
yes.
Yeah, that's cool. It's interesting what you just said too, because this reminds you a little bit of what President Bergman, I think, had something similar. But when you're able to name, you know, what it is you, like, you know, kind of know what you want to do, but you don't know that other people are doing it and you don't know what to call it. Right.
Yep.
That's powerful. Tessa, what about you? How did you, so you're in, I forget, environmental studies, political science. What do you have, like three majors or a dozen? Yeah. You have too many majors. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm environmental studies, political science, and geography.
Okay.
And, you know, technically it's a triple major and it sounds impressive, but the three of them combine together and a lot of the classes that I take overlap for at least two, if not three.
Yeah, they go beautifully together, I would say. I mean, just as biochemistry and chemistry do. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. So what got you from, you know, not sure what I want to do to those majors?
Yeah. So in high school, I took a class on environmental studies and, you know, I liked it. I just felt sort of nothing about it. And then we had a class on tree rings and looking at how old trees are and like how fires have impacted trees. And I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like, we can just look at a tree and it can tell us things. Like, it's so cool. And so then I decided that I really wanted to learn more about the environment and I still had no idea what I wanted to do. But I was like, environmental studies, that's going to be my major. And then I was randomly placed into a poli-sci class my freshman year with Lori Carson Kelly. Yeah. And I tried so hard to get out of it. I talked to my advisor. I was like, I don't want to be in this. I hate poli-sci. This is not going to be for me. And it is one of my favorite classes I've ever taken. I loved it so much. And it convinced me to take a poli-sci major as well, just because I love the theory involved and sort of like the philosophical thought.
Yeah.
And then this year, I've taken a couple geography classes. And this year I was like, you know what? I love geography too much to not also have this as a major. So I added geography as well. And so far every year here at Gustavus, I've added another major. So I'm really hoping that my senior year, I do not do another one.
Do not. We're going to record you promising. No, I'm not going to do it. But all serious, I mean, all those majors, well, first of all, you can't go wrong with any major at Gustavus or program, But those three majors, I mean, I can just imagine how well they combine, you know, especially, you know, you talked about kind of political theory and philosophy, but also just in terms of policy, right? Environmental studies and policy. And of course, geography fits perfectly. And I've podcasted with some of the poli-sci profs and a couple of the geography profs. No, Professor Obermiller Jeff Jeremiah. So my colleague David Obermiller in history, who does environmental history. Have you taken that already? Environmental history? Have you had that course?
I've not taken environmental history. Okay. That's one that I'm hoping to take senior year.
Yeah, you've got to take it. He's amazing. Really fantastic prof and historian. Really interesting, both of you. I mean, between you have, if I'm counting correctly, something like five majors. Oh, Tessa, do you have minor too? Do you music or?
I do not.
Oh, that's just fine. Okay. So both of you, let's see. So Ashley, you were involved with building bridges virtually from the start. And what about you, Tessa? When did you become involved?
Yeah. Building bridges has actually been something that's pretty new for me in my time here at Gustavus. Freshman year, I was really involved with sustainability. I was an EAC, sustainability intern, all of that stuff. And then last year, I was talking to one of my friends who was in Building Bridges and just sort of saying that I was a little bit dissatisfied with my extracurriculars because I felt so one note. Everything I was doing was sustainability. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh my gosh, you have to come to Building Bridges because it's right up your alley, but it's not sustainability. And I went to one meeting and immediately was like, this is the coolest thing. Like, I love it. But that was pretty late in the process. I think that it was a couple weeks into when you guys had already been meeting, I think, Ashley. Mm. So, yeah. And then I was just a regular committee member.
We have a veteran and a kind of a newcomer, but you're both co-chairs. Yeah. You know, I was able to podcast with last year, I think it was last year's co-chairs about that conference, which was also amazing. Just tell us, I mean, I think Building Bridges is one of the coolest events on our campus for a lot of reasons. But Ashley, you want to tell us a little bit about what it is? I mean, since you're the veteran, what is Building Bridges?
Yeah. So Building Bridges is a student-led organization, and we choose the topic, we choose our co-chairs, we choose our e-board, and then we build the conference from the ground up every year, and it's a signature event on campus that we're really excited to be running, and it's a really big deal, and we love doing it. Typically, we have weekly meetings, and we educate ourselves and each other on the topic, and we kind of guide our committee into what our vision is for the conference. And then we have subcommittees. So we have a workshops team, an events and promotion team, and then our action piece team. And so each group has a different job and has a different aspect of the conference that they bring to life. And then we usually spend our time hanging out together and having a good time and making our conference happen.
Yeah, I mean, you learn a lot, and you obviously you learn a lot about, you know, you learn a lot of life skills. I mean, how to organize, right? How to it's essentially a production. It's pretty impressive. And what you said earlier is one of the reasons I really enjoyed it is it's a student organization, student run, student led. How many students are involved, do you think? Like dozens or?
This year we have less than we have had in many years. We have a committee of 17 members this year.
Okay. That's good.
Usually we have about 30. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's more, much more than I thought. Wow.
Yeah, we're going to make it happen. It's going to be great.
Yeah. You know, you will. It's an incredible time commitment. Tessa, you mentioned just how much you enjoy. What is it you really enjoy about Building Bridges?
I think what I love most about it is just the educational aspect. I'm really passionate about activism. And I think that one of the most important parts about activism is education.
That's what I said.
Yeah, it's really hard to, you know, be an advocate for groups or, you know, be active in something if you don't really know what's happening. And I think it can often be overlooked in a lot of movements, especially my freshman year. I think there were just a lot of moments in sustainability stuff where I was like, I actually don't know what this is about, but I feel like I'm really active in this topic and I just feel like I'm uneducated. And so when we started every Building Bridges meeting off with, we call it educationals, where it's just a short little presentation about something regarding our topic. I just loved it because I think that that was what was really missing for me in my life, was just the educational aspect of activism.
Well, you've got me, I mean, kind of, I mean, sort of metaphorically, not entirely jumping out of my chair here with happiness. I think what you just said, first of all, I didn't know about those little what do you call them? Educational? What do they call those?
Yeah, educationals.
Yeah, those are educationals. What you just said about activism and knowledge is incredibly important, I think. And I'm now speaking as the historian. I'm thinking of, well, so many historians who are also activists. I'm thinking of one historian who's written about this, who's Black man, but, you know, just trying to understand, well, if I want to address this issue, how can I do that without understanding the history behind it, right? I would say that's true of anything, but just, you know, how can I just approach it in a vacuum? So I really, really want to underscore and appreciate what you just said. And then clearly, as you both are getting at, there's the social aspect as well, which I'm sure is fun. And then must be so satisfying to see this thing come together, right? And actually have it happen. How did you, I love the title. I think, first of all, I think it's fantastic. Sad to say, right? But incredibly timely, given what's going on in the world. But how did you come up with that topic? And then also the title, Unseen Passages, Refugees and the Collective Fight for Vitality. Ashley, you want to start?
Yeah, so I'll let Tessa talk about the topic, because she came to me and was like, refugees. And I was like, yes.
So okay, fine. Yeah. I'll let her Tessa
talk about that.
Sure.
Yeah, so I actually did not want to be a Building Bridges co-chair originally. I emailed last year's co-chair, Mad, when applications were coming out, and I just said, hey, I don't want to be a co-chair, but I think you should do a conference on refugees and asylum seekers. And I don't know how that whole process works, but however you guys choose the topic, like, that's what I think it should be.
Well, let me pause you there for a second. Why did you say that? Why did you say, I think you should focus on refugees? What led you to that?
Yeah, so my time here at Gustavus has really led me to be passionate about that. There's a professor here in the geography department, Tiffany Grabowski, who is like the coolest person I've ever met. And she's a former asylum officer. And I took a class with her spring of my freshman year. And it's called Global Migrations, Geography 238. If you haven't taken it, Gustavus students, you should. It's the coolest class I've ever taken. And I learned so much. Sorry, one sec.
That's okay. You're fighting COVID. It's no problem. As long as you can breathe.
No worries.
Yeah, it sounds like a great class. I mean, just the title alone makes me want to
We learned about just migration as a whole, but we had a specific unit where we talked about refugees and asylum seekers and Tiffany's work with them as an asylum officer. And it was just so enlightening. We looked at a lot of like firsthand experiences, but also a lot of media. And we talked about a lot of like different intricacies within the topic, like, you know, media representation, which we see a lot of complexities once the Ukraine crisis has started.
Yes.
But then I sort of developed a love for that. And then the following year, I got to take another class with Tiffany where I was able to interview a migrant for something called a migrant experience project.
Oh, wow.
Where we just sort of wrote a research paper about sort of a person's life. And I knew that I had a friend who also was in Building Bridges, whose father had fled Laos during the Vietnam War. And I asked if I could interview him.
Wow.
And his mother, as both of them had fled. And so I was able to talk to them, and I talked to them for about an hour and a half, and then spent about a month working on that project. And it was so enlightening for me, just to hear like firsthand experience.
Sure.
And yeah, so that sort of developed a passion. And then with the war in Ukraine, there was a lot of media coverage, but then once that media coverage sort of started to die off, there was also a lot of media coverage about, you know, how do we choose who's covered in the media? Like, what does it mean if you're a refugee of color versus a white Ukrainian refugee? And just a lot of intricacies within the topic.
Yes, absolutely.
That began to fascinate me.
Yeah. I mean, wow. We could start doing a whole podcast just on what you just said, I think. First of all, just briefly, I didn't know about is it called Migrant Experience Project? Is that what you said? What is that about?
Yeah.
Is that national or international, or just Gustavus, or?
Yeah, so it's just a Gustavus thing. It's in a geography class, and I'm trying to remember which geography class. I think it's 102 World Geography.
Okay.
And just the students get to choose any person who has had a migration journey and interview them and learn from them. And, you know, in the process of selecting who I was going to interview, I pretty much knew right away that I wanted to try to talk to someone who has had an experience of being in a refugee situation.
Great project. I mean, it's a great project and just another example of how Gustavus enables students to do research, and then how that feeds into, you know, here you are with this topic for building bridges. The other thing you mentioned, and this could literally truly be a whole podcast, is just the representation of refugees, even the language, like, you know, is it, should we say refugees, displaced people, or displaced persons, right? Or both, right? I mean, which refugees receive what kind of coverage? I mean, all that is just absolutely fascinating. Sounds like you need to add comp studies major. You're just kidding. Don't do it. Your senior year. Ashley, so she comes to you. What do you say? Fine. Did you both work on the title, or how did you? I mean, it's just such a great title. I wonder if you could, Ashley, you if you want, or Tessa. Unseen passages. Maybe start with that part of the title. What that means? How you came up with that?
Yeah. So Tessa and I spent a really long time trying to make our title. We knew it was important, and we really wanted to be obvious about it. A lot of the Building Bridges titles usually start with like a big statement or like a summary or something. So like my freshman year, it was climate justice, and the year before right. that was immigration. And so we kind of really were talking about how our conference, we really want to highlight the things that people don't see, because Minnesota has a huge refugee population. A lot of places do, and people just don't see it, or they don't know. And there's actually a poster in our office from a conference quite a while ago that is hidden in plain sight. We were like, oh, that's really cool. And then we're like, well, we're thinking about paths and things, but what about the unseen? So then we came up with unseen passages, and that was actually in the second half of our topic, or the second half of our title. And we were originally starting with refugees, I think, but then we ended up switching it. And, we really liked unseen passages, but it took us a really long time to come up with the second half of our title.
Well, it's an awesome title. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, we love what we came up with.
It's a great title. I mean, just literally just as a title, everything about it. I mean, the hook, the wording, the rhythm, the phrase unseen passages. I mean, that can mean so many different things. So the unseen, literally the passage that's the migration, right? Mm-hmm. But also, you think of passages, what do we think of? Like there's a passageway, there's a, you know, all the right. different twists and turns. So that's really smart. The words are really important. Collective fight, collective, and then vitality. What'd you mean by, and Tessa, jump in if you want. What'd you mean by collective fight for vitality?
Yeah. So we really struggled with the wording on this for a while, I think.
Tessa, do you want to go ahead? Will you say something?
Yeah, just sort of the same thing. We really wanted to make sure that we weren't saying like, a lot of the early iterations of the title were like refugees and their fight for, you know, something, their fight for, and we wanted to make sure that we wanted it to be a collective thing, and it wasn't, you know, refugees are fighting alone to be able to live their own lives. And especially since Ashley and I, this is an experience that Ashley and I have not had, and we're not a part of it. We're just able to learn and be advocates. We wanted it to be a collective thing. So we landed on the word collective, and that was a big one for us.
Yep. And vitality, how'd you land on that word, which is also a great word?
Yeah, that was a word I think Tiffany proposed, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the geography.
Yeah. Tiffany is actually one of our advisors for Building Bridges this year because of her involvement. So we had a meeting with her and Tom Flunker. And we were trying to figure out what we could say and what would sum it up. And Tiffany's like, well, what about this word? And Tess and I read into it. We're like, that's perfect.
It is perfect. And Thomas Flunker, who's the director of Center for Inclusive Excellence. Just wonderful, honestly. I love titles. I'm not professors, certainly in the humanities, probably, I mean, I don't know how it is in the sciences, but, you know, certainly titles matter. Mm-hmm. As I tell my students, it's not called article or book. I mean, and good titles hook you. They tell you what the focus is. They even tell you what the argument is. And your title does all of that. So just congrats on an outstanding title. Now, so the conference is going to take, is the conference in person now? I think we're not.
It is in person this year, okay. Yes.
Okay. And it's on a Saturday, right? March 4th. 2023. Tell us a little bit about the organization of the conference, what it's going to involve.
Yeah, so we have a couple of student performances to start out the day. So we'll start in Alumni Hall and have our opening remarks and have a couple of performances from GWAC and Legacy. There are a cappella groups on campus. We're super excited about that. They're super excited to sing for us.
That's great.
And then we're going to move into our first keynote speaker, and then we'll have some lunch, and then our second keynote, and then we'll move into our workshop speakers and our action piece walkthrough. And then we'll finish out the day with a dance performance and our closing remarks.
That's fantastic. Now, tell us a little bit about the keynotes, just briefly. Who are they? If you want to take one, Ashley, and Tessa, the other, for example.
Yeah. So our first keynote of the day is Alicia. She works with the Lutheran, oh my gosh, I always forget the name.
Lutheran Social Services?
Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services.
Oh, okay.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
And she's the Associate Director for Asylum Services there. And she oversees the community-based organizations that work with asylum seekers at the border. And she's based in the San Antonio, Texas field office. We're really excited because she's going to come in and talk about her experience with working with different populations across continents. And kind of what her firsthand experience is working for these organizations. She's also volunteered to work with the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees with some other really big names. So we're super excited to have her come and speak about her experiences with policy and kind of what That's that great. Looks like.
Sounds fantastic. Tessa, what about the other keynote?
Yeah, so our second keynote speaker is Simuk Devongse. And she is a Lao poet and playwright, author, cultural producer, philanthropist, pretty much everything. She's
That's
so
amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's best known for her children's book that she's written, which is called When Everything is Everything.
I think Ashley and I
requested that book through the library, and it was really, really good, even though we're obviously a little bit older than the target audience.
Yeah, I know. I've not read it, but I definitely know of the book. I must have read something about it. Yeah, it got a lot of – it sounded fantastic. So we now have a copy, it sounds like, in our library.
Yeah, and Simukta is actually going to be selling the book at the conference, so that's super cool.
Very cool.
And – there is like some aspects of the Lao language in that book, which I gave it to my friend who is to read, who her father is Lao. And she was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Cause you really don't see the Lao language in a lot of places.
That's amazing. And is she based, is she based in this country or where does she live now?
Yeah. So she fled Laos during the Vietnam War. And so she's a former refugee and she now lives in, Minneapolis, but she actually spent some time in Mankato. So when Ashley and I asked her, she was like, yeah, I know Gustavus. I've heard of you guys.
That's really great. Sounds like two excellent keynotes. And then you have these workshops that go on. And talk to me a little bit about, I've always been interested in this, in the acting piece, because am I correct that every Building Bridges, at least recent ones, have a so-called acting piece? Is that right?
Yeah. So it's actually action piece.
Action is what I meant. I'm sorry. I'm in the theater. Yeah. I mean, I'm theater mode. Action piece. Action piece. Exactly. Yeah. Action piece. Thank you. Go ahead. Yeah.
So action piece is one of my favorite parts of the conference because I'm super biased. I did action piece my first year working with the conference. But basically, we call it an interactive art walkthrough, but it's a lot of different things. And it's really hard to explain if you haven't experienced it. But we take over the second floor of Beck and we have a lot of classrooms and we just try to give people sort of a meaningful experience that they're a part of that can sort of get them thinking, get them talking different ideas. This year, it's going to be sort of like the journey that a refugee might take and the struggles that they might go through. So there is one room that's about language barriers. So, for example, they're going to have paperwork that's in a language that you don't really speak, because that's what a lot of refugees have to go through.
You right,
have
the to paperwork.
Fill you need out to fill a lot out. Of paperwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And last year, the topic was educational justice. And so some of the rooms were about learning disabilities. And, you know, I had a little piece about dress code, and I just went around with a bullhorn and told people they were out of dress code and gave them a big T-shirt to put on.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool piece. I remember Mad Chase and talking about that last year when I interviewed them the co-chairs. Yeah, but I didn't know about the bullhorn. That's funny. Mm. I just think it's neat. And that's, wow, what a smart, that's really brilliant, because something that seems, well, what's the big deal? You fill out some paperwork. Well, yeah, if it's in a language you don't understand, can't read, or there's no one there to help you, right? Wow. So it's a mix of stuff, right? Visual. Will there be visual? Will there be like videos and things and music too? Or I should be spoiler alerts maybe, but to the extent you could, it's multimedia. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. There's a committee of our general members in the Building Bridges committee who plan it. So Ashley and I were involved, but this is really like their thing.
Their thing. Yeah. So it's a lot of work, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it is so much work. Everyone in our committee works so hard, and oh my gosh.
Like, I mean, the whole conference, but this piece in particular. Anyway, it just sounds fantastic. Now, final question about the conference. Turn back to your stories. Will it be streamed for people or not? Live streamed or recorded, or the keynotes at least?
We are planning to have sort of a recording.
Okay.
We need to have another meeting with Barb to talk more about it, but it's kind of our backup plan in case we run out of seats, which is we're hoping. I think depending on how well that works, we may have it available after the conference, but
yeah,
we're trying to limit that as much as possible so that we can have as many people in person as possible.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I just think, that makes a lot of sense. I think it's really my own bias. It'd be cool to have this stuff, you know, kind of archived, you know, at least the keynotes, because they're so amazing for people, even for professors, by the way, to use, for profs to use in their classes. Well, it's going to be exciting. Congratulations on almost pulling it all together. It's getting close, a few weeks away, and it's super, super important. Back to your stories. We've talked a bit about your majors, and I know you each have been involved in, and I think, Tessa, earlier you said extracurricular, which made me smile. That's the old-fashioned word, which I like, because that's what it used to be. Now we call it co-curricular. Anyway, why don't we start with you, Tessa? You've done this sustainability internship. Tell us a little bit about that, what that involves.
Yeah, so that is it's a very flexible way to just improve sustainability on campus. So President Bergman set these goals that we would reach. One of them, I don't even know them all off the top of my head, but one of them I think is zero waste by 2024. And so we're a group of students led by Jeff Jeremias, and a chemistry professor, Chuck, a physics professor, and Kari Waller, who's in charge of waste management. And we're a group of students who just do whatever we can to make that happen. So one of the coolest things that we've accomplished is getting compost bins into residence halls. Freshman year, if you wanted to compost in residence halls, for example, I had an ice cream bucket that I put all of my food waste in, and my freshman roommate really put up with that because it definitely did not smell good.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Yeah.
Yeah, but now we have these green bins that were funded by Student Senate and, you know, put out by us. And we do a lot of other work on campus that isn't really, you don't really think a lot about. So there's something called Trex Plastic. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's plastic recycling. So like plastic bags that you get from Target or from FamFresh.
Oh, and sure. Now I know what it is.
We sort through all of those to make sure that what's appropriate is going in there. And then those turn into benches and they show up on campus.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. And the benches are cool too. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. So is that internship, are you getting credit or paid or just experience?
So you get to choose if it's credit or paid. So far I've done it for pay every single year just because with my majors, I do have to take a lot of classes for credit and I don't need any more credits.
Okay.
But it is like a free for, not, you get to choose if you do it for credit or for pay.
It's a great experience and super important. I mean, there are all kinds of, you know, articles and studies about just the, you know, people your age and a little bit older, but the impact of climate change just psychologically and emotionally. Sometimes I think, yeah, it would be easier just to deny it and not believe it. But, you know, it's here. Boy, is it here, right? And sustainability is so important. We think of, you know, if you forget, right, how much trash, I mean, God knows how much trash a college campus, not to mention a university, generates. I'm always saying to my wife, Kate, who used to teach in the history department, God, we generate a lot of garbage here for just the two of us. We don't have children. You know, God, I can't imagine if we'd had children.
Yeah,
and, you know, we sort and we do this. It is crazy. It's nuts. And then, you know, we don't see it, right? We don't know where does the trash go, what happens to it, how does it affect the environment. But all really cool work and obviously related to your environmental studies major. Thank you for doing it too. It's important. And Ashley, well, aside from music, that's one of your co-curricular activities, of course. And you're doing, let's see, was it 2 summers ago or last summer? You were one of these Mayo undergraduate research fellows.
Yeah, that was last summer.
Last summer. What was that about? Tell us a little bit about that. That's awesome. Congratulations on that too.
Thank you. So Tim Peterson is an alum of Gustavus, and he had a good friend of his that passed away. So he made a fellowship for Gustavus students to go do research at the Mayo Clinic. So the Mayo Clinic has a SURF program, which is a summer undergraduate research fellowship.
And okay. I've been applying literally to it. As in surf.
Yeah. Okay. And I've been applying to it ever since I started applying to research positions. But I was able to go to the Mayo Clinic through this fellowship. So they gave us the money to go do the research there. And it was a really great experience for me. That was the first time I did biochemistry research. I've just done chemistry research in the past. But it was a really good experience to just get to meet a bunch of people and kind of understand and see how the research that people were doing was being implemented right in the clinic. And it was really cool to be there and to experience that firsthand. I didn't personally do any clinical trials, but it was really cool to see my friends and other Gustavus students get the opportunity to do that and to kind of work in the field and get that experience.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Was there a specific issue or topic, if that's the right word, you were researching, focusing on?
Yeah. So the research I did was with Dr. Veronica Rodriguez Bravo. And I worked on her project focusing on cancer, prostate cancer. So I used prostate cancer and I did drug treatments on the cells to try to see what a particular part of the cell was doing and how it was behaving in relation to the drug. And so I did a lot of what's called a Western blot and SDS page gels. And then I did a lot of immunofluorescence spectroscopy. So I just made a lot of microscope slides and sat in front of a computer, which was great because it was really cool to see all the different lights and colors fluoresce under the microscope to see what I was looking at. And it was definitely super out of my comfort zone, but I've learned a lot from it and I really enjoyed it.
That's really cool. And you had something, was it the previous summer at the University of Iowa too? Another
research? Yeah. So the summer before that I was at the University of Iowa. I did research with Dr. Florence Williams and that one was based on cellulose in creating a sustainable process to try to obtain cellulose from sawdust to be reusable instead of using like petroleum or something else that would be harmful to the environment.
So that relates to sustainability and environment.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that project.
You've got a partner there in Tessa at some point when you're ready. So that is really cool. I mean, it's just great. It's just all these opportunities that our students have. And I mean, certainly, you know, I don't know. I think some tests I took when I was, you know, one of those aptitude tests or whatever the hell they were called back then. Mm-hmm. You know, said I should have been a chemist or something. Anyway, I certainly appreciate science. I'm really concerned about the anti-science culture we have and, you know, in all kinds of ways, but, the stuff that goes into, you know, as you say, just that step of making those slides, right. The stuff that goes into one research project is kind of mind-boggling, but also what comes out of it, what can come out of it, like the, you know, the making of these vaccines, which I know, you know, the, what is it called? RNA, Emma, had been, the COVID vaccines had been, you know, some people think, oh my God, how did they do that so quick? Well, you know, it's been in the works for a while, right? I mean, not the specific, but the processes. So just really, really interesting. Both of you are awesome, I think. Really, really exemplify what, I mean, the kind of student every professor wants, engaged in all kinds of ways. And keeping your sanity, it's easy to get overwhelmed, right? Because they have a student well known for trying to do too much, I think. And maybe that's true of all undergraduates these days. But as we wind down here, I wonder, maybe Ashley, you could start and then we'll come to Tessa, just your pitch for Gustavus. I mean, I know in a way you've made it already as we've been speaking, but if you had, you know, a minute to sell the place, what would you say?
Yeah. My standard advice is don't come here if it doesn't feel like home. Gustavus is a place where it's super easy to feel at home, and a lot of the professors are just extremely supportive. I think that's my biggest pitch for it, especially as a STEM major. The support I have in my major is just outstanding. I was talking to somebody last night about how I've never been told that I couldn't do something. And now I'm going to graduate school to get my PhD in chemistry. So it's just like, it's one of those things where it's, you have the support system you need here, and you can make the friends that will support you through the rest of your life. And it's truly a one of a kind experience, and the community and the extensive network we have is just amazing.
All well said. I like that. Don't come here if it doesn't feel like home. And, you know, by the way, I'm old enough and veteran enough at Gustavus to remember when, the science faculty was virtually all male, right? I mean, literally. And that is so different now, thank goodness. Yes. And also to see young women like you and, you know, so many others engaged in science, that's super important. I mean, that's all another podcast, right? Women in science, but it's really, really absolutely important. And you have some, both male faculty and female, men and women faculty who are supportive of male students and female students as well. Really, really important. Tessa, what about you? What's your elevator pitch for the place?
Yeah. So I love what Ashley said, you know, like everyone's really supportive here, but my main thing at Gustavus is you can just feel so fulfilled and you can feel very well-rounded. Like I do all of this stuff. Like I do sustainability and I do building bridges, which is really fulfilling for me. Emotionally, like I know, like, wow, this is really, I'm really proud of the work I'm doing.
You should be.
And I take classes and I learn. But then I also, this year, I joined the cheerleading team, which is something I've never done before.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
So I get to do that. And I've met these 13 amazing girls that I have so much fun with. So I get to go from, you know, like cheerleading at a basketball game to doing a building bridges meeting with Ashley. And I just feel like this is where I've really like fulfilled who I feel like I'm supposed to be in life.
That's really cool. So about the cheerleading, how does it work? Is there a cheerleading team singular? Then you cheerlead at all the different games? I mean, are there multiple? You have four of you here, four of you there. How does it work?
Yeah. So there's, we're actually having tryouts soon. So if anyone's
listening, I'll be there. No, I'm kidding.
but there's about 12 to 13 of us right now. And we just cheer at football and basketball right now because cheering at, other sports is usually difficult because it's pretty fast paced and hard to understand. But we get to do like cheers with palms, but then we also get to do stunts. So I'm like throwing people in the air and catching them. It's really, really fun.
That's amazing. And men and women, right? Am I right about that or not on the team?
Now we just have girls. Okay.
But I think in the past there've been, I'm not watching. Yeah. I think so. I'm pretty sure. That's really interesting. What's that terrible? Is that called Cheerleaders? What is that movie about anyway, that's a whole nother thing too, where mothers get up and real life too, you know, mothers get upset because their daughter isn't on the team. I think that was a story about that. Anyway, cool. Oh, very interesting. And you're all doing, you know, you're doing academic work really well. I think that for me, I didn't attend a liberal arts college. I attended a big, you know, state university, then a big private university. But I really, my wife Kate went to Bard, which is a small liberal arts college. So she had that experience. But I do love that about being a faculty member at Gustavus, where I don't have to specialize. I can teach courses, you know, outside of my comfort zone as long as I know what I'm doing. And I can do a podcast, you know, which I mean, a lot of places would say, what? You know, forget it, pal. I really like that. You stay fresh, you stay curious, and you can pursue your interests. So all well said, both of you. So this has been really fun, really interesting. I'm super excited about the topic and the conference coming up on March 4th, 2023, everybody. Good luck finishing that up, tying up all the loose ends, and look forward to hearing more about it. And I'll try to get there. I don't know if I can get there on March 4th, but hopefully I want to hear those keynotes if I can. So I might try to get there. But all the best, okay? And the best with your last semester, Ashley.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're both great. And coffee or lunch on me at River Rock at some point. Let me know. Take good care. Thank you both.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. It really was. All right. Bye-bye. Learning for Life at Gustavus is produced by J.J. Aiken and Matthew Dobosensky of the Gustavus Office of Marketing. Gustavus graduate Will Clark, class of 20, who also provides technical expertise to the podcast, and me. The views expressed in this podcast are not necessarily those of Gustavus Adolphus College.